Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada gather to worship together, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition. And now, let's prepare our hearts for worship and create sacred space to be blessed by God. Good morning, everybody. This is Bishop Deb, and I welcome you on behalf of the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada to our service of worship on this sixth Sunday after Epiphany. Let us now prepare our hearts for a time of worship and prayer. Let us pray. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. We ask for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with your grace. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. This is the collect for the sixth Sunday after Epiphany. Almighty and ever-living God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, healed the sick and restored them to wholeness of life, look with compassion on the anguish of the world, and by your power make whole all peoples and nations. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Jeremiah, Chapter 17, beginning at the fifth verse. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by the water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart, to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doing. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed between the lections is Psalm 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Giver of life, save us from the desert of faithlessness, and nourish us with the living water of your word, that we may bring forth fruit that will last. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
A reading from First Letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, beginning with the 12th verse. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how could some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped that in Christ, we are all a people most to be pitied. But in fact Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel, Luke 6, 17 to 26. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
He came down with them and stood on a level place, with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to who are all full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to false prophets." This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Today is the sixth Sunday after Epiphany, and today's sermon is from the passage of Luke, which is known as the Sermon on the Plain, and is somewhat parallel to Matthew 5:7, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is about to make a very important decision, so important that he goes to a mountain and he prays all night to God. When the day comes, Jesus calls his followers, and what he does, he chooses 12 apostles. They were to be his messengers, his representatives, his voices for the message of the kingdom. We are not told why he picked who he picked. We do know that he did pray to God about his decision. They were chosen on the mountain because it seems that the mountain seems to be the place to pray and to encounter God. The mountain is where Jesus is coming down from with his disciples and his newly chosen apostles, which leads us into this week's reading. In verses 17 and 19, he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of disciples and a great multitude of people, all from Judea, Jerusalem, the coast of Tyre and Sidon. All these people had come to hear Jesus and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits to be cured. Many of these people came in hardships, the thirst for hearing the good news, and of course to be healed. So in this passage, we are observing the authority of Jesus as a healer, an exorcist, and a prophet. These people were being blessed by Jesus. These healings, the blessings, were a demonstration from Jesus that he had the power to undo the effects of sin. Not that every disease was and is a direct result of sin that someone had committed, but let us remember that when sin came into the world, so did sickness, death, and hostility. By healing people, Jesus was showing why he had come, to undo the effects of sin. Jesus still frees people today from the power of sin and death to a new eternal life, free from the bondages of sin, to a life able to follow God's way. How do we measure blessings in our lives? What kind of life would you like to have? And what kind of blessing are you thinking about when you ask for God's blessing? What is the picture in your life, in your mind, that you want? It is fair to assume that all of us want to be blessed. When we pray for someone, anyone, we pray that God may richly bless them. But depending on what our understanding of a blessing may be, it can mean very different things. Today, this is what today's passage is all about. It's how we tend to measure the blessings in our lives and how to recognize them. There are two basic measures we are told of. They are the godly measures and the worldly measures, which the Jews of Jesus' time used. The world tends to have many measures, but Jesus only has one. And many Christians today also tend to claim worldly measures of blessings for themselves. Here in Luke, Jesus is beginning his first discipleship lesson for the apostles, the great number of disciples, and the great multitude. Jesus begins explaining to his apostles and to us the radical difference between kingdom life and secular life. His main point is that if we are going to be God's children, we must be properly instructed as to what God desires from each of us. Our value system used to be that of the secular world around us, but now it has to change. So to be a part of God's kingdom means that his subjects live differently than the secular world around them. Besides his new apostles and disciples, we as ministers and clergy must have a God-centered worldview. God has different purposes and priorities than the world has. If we are saved, or we have changed our vocation, like many of my fellow clergy from the Community Catholic Church and I have, then God has placed us into his kingdom, and we must now start living by his standard, not by the ones from our former kingdom. Jesus knows that living for God's glory and by his standards doesn't happen automatically or even come naturally. We will learn, we will be taught what God desires from his people, perhaps even from our bishops and our archbishops. Can begin the hard work of conforming and submitting our lives to his sovereign rule. In this first lesson, we read that Jesus is going to pronounce a blessing on those people who are poor, hungry, weeping, and hated. Now, there is something that is really radical here. But from the world's standards, these are the very people who were not blessed. As sad as it is, our culture or our society says that it is the rich, the full, the happy, and the light are the people who have been blessed. Now, to make sure that Jesus is not mistaken, he is going to say something else. He says the same thing, but in a negative way. And what he does is declare woes, which is the opposite of blessed and on the ones who are rich, full, happy, and light. Ultimately, the question for us will be, will we be happy with the world's riches, or will we hold out for a greater treasure? Namely Christ. The Sermon on the Plain begins in verse 20, and in this section, Jesus sets forth four Beatitudes and four woes. Beatitudes pronounce certain persons are blessed, and they give the reason why this person is blessed, as a declaration, a divine pronouncement of judgment from God. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation." This is the first beatitude, and what Jesus is saying here is that his poor disciples are blessed. This is poverty accompanied by grace. It is being poor in worldly possessions, but being rich toward God, and forsaking an earthly treasure, and laying up treasures in heaven. Jesus is declaring a blessing on his disciples and apostles, because they have made certain sacrifices from a worldly standard to be one of his students. The woe in verse 24, Jesus is talking about material possessions. But the problem is that many of us measure God's blessings in our lives by looking at our bank accounts. Jesus is trying to stop us from that way of thinking. It is the people who are poor who can be blessed by God. God's kingdom is for people who do not seek their wealth and life in earthly things, but rather acknowledge their own poverty and come to Jesus for true life. So then you may ask, who are those who will seek after God? And those who are financially well off will not see the need for it. They think that they have all their needs. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. This addresses the hungry, meaning the physically hungry. They will be filled and will feast at the heavenly Sabbath banquet. Blessed are those who are not comfortable now and are not satisfied with the things of this world. We are not to find our satisfaction in things in this world, because if we end up being filled on those things of this world, then we stop looking for things that God has to offer us. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. All of our pleasures and desires cannot be found in this world. It is said that if our joy is in this world, then we will be sorry, because we are going to miss out on the great joy when Christ returns. Many Christians are living for all there is to find in this world, because society has told us to do what makes us happy. Jesus says there is a problem with that, as you may have some joys now, but there will be eternal consequences to those choices. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on the account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what the ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what the ancestors did to the false prophets. Actually, this doesn't surprise me at all, because I'm pretty sure that one or more of us have been there. When someone speaks about God or Jesus, there's always a reaction from others. Like, really? This is what you want or think? People are going to look at you differently if you have a devotion to Jesus. Following Christ and popularity with others do not go together. We will definitely not fit in or be a part of their crowd. They won't like what we believe or what we will teach. They might end up even excluding us and revile us when we obey the word of God. Do you see in this passage what Jesus says of him? He says, rejoice. Rejoice and leap for joy, because you know that you have a great reward in heaven. We have to understand that we have made the right choice, and that we cannot be always people pleasers, but God pleasers. As a disciple of Jesus, we must understand that we cannot live our lives by the opinions of others. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you, when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. Why were the prophets hated by the lost people? Because they stood up and spoke the words God had them to speak. People were called to repentance and faith. And for the most part, the people didn't want to repent and didn't want faith. So they were hated. On the other hand, the false prophets were adored by the people because they spoke soothing words, the lies that people wanted to hear. They were loved by the people and were held in high esteem for the good-sounding flattery. By any chance, are we hearing of any of this in a certain part of the world at this time? Just my view on it. If all people are speaking well of you, and it's your goal to be liked, or if the fear of man may cause you to cave in, let them have their own way, and let them think that everything is all right with their souls. Then you will be liked for eternity, right? The false prophets should then enjoy their lives now as much as possible, because the life to come for them will be a life of weeping and suffering. Maybe we should pause and consider how we are doing. Are we poor, hungry, hated because of the gospel, or are we rich, filled, and liked? As we consider these issues, that's where the heart of what Jesus is really getting at. Jesus' truth taught is we must be willing to give up everything, if need be, for the sake of Christ and the gospel. If we can understand that in reality we are not giving up anything at all, then it is possible for us to have this attitude. We are trading temporary comfort for eternal joy. Jesus wants us to learn that while things of this world may look really good, they are not. He wants us to see what the good life versus what looks like to be the good life, but really isn't. Remember that as believers, this is not our real home. Our real home is in heaven. Our citizenship is in the kingdom of God and God's ways of this current fallen, cursed world. I pray that we can be living by kingdom's realities now, even though its fullness is yet to be seen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. From peace on high and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the welfare of the Holy Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our bishops and all the clergy and people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the leaders of every nation and for all in authority, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For each and every city and community and for those who live in them in faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For good weather and for abundant harvest for all to share, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who travel by land, water, or air, for the sick and the suffering, especially Shane, Jean, Liz, Pat, Doug, Tiffany D., Nancy, George, Philip, and Jessica, for prisoners and captives, and for their safety, health, and salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our deliverance from all affliction, strife, and need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who have died and for those who grieve, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Remembering all the saints, we commit ourselves, one another, and our whole life to Christ our God.
To you, O Lord.
Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications to you. And you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together, you will hear their requests. Fulfill now our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth and in the age to come eternal life. For you, Father, are good and loving, and we glorify you through our Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are all wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted, songs of praise are being offered, bread and wine is being blessed to nurture God's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God, and we give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and every moment of our day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world.
May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as our brothers and sisters and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and everyone whom you love, this day and forevermore. Amen.
Go forth in the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.